All right. If you guys want to go ahead and we'll bow our heads and we'll just open up in prayer, and then we'll jump right in here. Lord, I just ask that you would just bless the message that you have brought through my heart. I just ask you, Lord, that it would actually just bear the fruits that you have asked it to be, that you would just let it do what you have called it to do, Father, in the hearts of your believers here tonight, so that we can see a harvest, not only in their individual lives, but also in our corporate life as a church together. In Jesus' name, amen. If you guys want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to go start right there in verse 16 and 17. And one thing that had just been starting to come up in my mind when I started to think about what do I want to talk about, and what does God want to say through me? And this verse came up, and I think it definitely was not a mistake that it came up, from the fact that we've been talking about recently, obviously with the new year upon us, that everybody needs to buckle down and decide to read the Word of God each and every day of their life. And, when I started to look at this, and, this Lord just started speaking some different things to me, and then, I had some other things that were pointed out to me along the way, and so I'm just really, I know I was blessed by the study time that I had, and I hope you guys are blessed at the same time through the same study. So in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." This started, one of the things that kind of tied back into it after I had started studying upon this was in Mark chapter 4, and that's where we're going to go next. But I want you guys to start thinking about, when you see what this says about the Word of God, I want you guys to think about, if this is what the Word of God is good for, what does that mean and how we should prepare for when we read the Word of God? Or how we as a body, when we hear the Word of God instructed, whether it is in church or whether it's just something that you're listening to on the radio or when you're in your daily reading time of the Word of God, what does that mean, and how should you prepare yourself for that time? What should you do, and what kind of a person should we be if this is what the Bible is good for? Okay? So start thinking about that, and let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Because we'll come back to that here in just a few minutes. But in Mark chapter 4, we're all very familiar with this parable of the sower. And I'll read through it real quick through the actual parable, and then we'll go through the teaching of it. In Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 3, we'll go through 9, it says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, sometimes we all have different interpretations of this, but thank the Lord that he gave us the interpretation very plainly. If you guys go to verse 13, the one thing that I didn't really catch the first few times when I was reading through this was here in verse 13, where it says, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?'" What's cool about this is that God is pointing out to us that this is a very foundational parable that we really need to understand. We really need to get the grip on it, because if we don't have a grip on this, like he says, how will we understand the other parables that are listed out for us? How will we understand anything else that he teaches us? Because that's why this is so important. That's why I started to talk about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where I was talking about what the Word of God is good for. That kind of starts a breeding ground of saying, what kind of soil should we be, what kind of a person should we be, how should we approach the Word of God, and how should we handle it. So let's go on here in verse 14. It says, the sower sows the Word. So we're all very clear that the Word of God is the seed that is being sowed into our lives. And it says, and these are the ones by the wayside where the Word was sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So obviously, there's going to be some individuals that no matter what they hear or whenever they hear the word of God, immediately it has no time to even take any kind of effect in their life because Satan just takes it out. And that's obviously not a good place to be because you want to get some benefit out of the word of God. But he's saying here that obviously some people, and I want you guys to also think about when you're reading through these, as we're going through, to think about what kind of a ground are you currently at? Because obviously it's not one of these stages that you're going to always be at. You're not always going to be that type of person every single time. And hopefully you're progressing through into the actual good ground that's going to bear fruit and bear something out of it. So Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And then in verse 16 it says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, because afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. How many of you guys have had a revelation that you really, you know, thought that when you were reading something, you really just had something jump out at you, and you were like, oh, I'm going to lay a hold of this. And the first thing you do, you start laying a hold of it, you start, you know, you start walking according to it, and then when you start sharing it with somebody, they're like, well, that's goofy. You know, that's stupid. Why are you even doing that? Mm-hmm. And you get discouraged because of what they're doing, yes. Okay? Yes. Just as in the first part of this parable, Satan is trying to steal the seed of the Word of God because he knows what it's going to do in your life if you receive it properly. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what it'll do. It'll start to really break things through and bring things out of your life that really don't need to be there, but also so that you can be a fruitful and a productive member of the body of Christ. So when he's talking about here, he says, you know, afterward, when tribulation, sometimes we all just go through troubles that sometimes rob us of the joy that we receive from the Word of God, but he says, or persecution arises for the Word's sake, immediately they stumble. And I'll tell you this right now, if you start from the first couple times or first few times when you're around people, if they hear you coughing or they hear you hacking or anything like that, and they ask you if you're sick, and you say, no, I'm not sick, I'm healed in the name of Jesus, you'll probably receive a little bit of persecution from that. Just because people don't quite understand that. Or if you think that it's, you know, if you feel like the Lord has spoken something to you and you step out in faith on it, they're going to call you crazy. They might call you a lot of different things. But the thing is that you don't want to be the type of person that allows that person's persecution or a fear of somebody's persecution stop you from standing in the Word of God. Because you can't let anybody else rob you of what God has already promised you, amen? Because God has promised you a number of different things here in the Word of God, a fruitful life here in the Word, and a fruitful life here in this earthly present life that we have. But, unfortunately, sometimes we let either the fear of somebody else or the actual comments that other people make rob us of the revelation that God has given us. So let's go on here. Excuse me. In verse 18, it says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in to choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This little piece I want to just spend a couple minutes on because it doesn't really mean that these things, it says just the cares of this world. So it doesn't necessarily mean that these are bad things that you're thinking about. You know, it's not necessarily bad things that are going on in your life. But the thing is that sometimes we start caring about other things more than we do spending time in the Word of God. We start caring about, you know, we start caring about whether it's TV or whether we say, you know, I've got to support my family. So therefore, I'm working three different jobs. I don't have time to spend in the Word of God. I don't, you know, so we start letting these other things, these other cares of the world, rob us of our time in the Word or rob us of the chances of God revealing something to us. You know, so as there's, you know, so every one of us, I know at some point or another, has been in this place to where we really think, you know, we're like, oh man, I really do need to spend some time in the Word, but we seem to never get there. That's what he's talking about, letting the cares of this world rob you of the Word that needs to be sown into your life. That Word that needs to be sown into your life, we are letting the cares of this world, or the next thing it says, the deceitfulness of riches. You will never, it seems like when we start caring about money, we will never have enough. And so when we start to quest after these things, when we start to reach after these things, whether it be money, whether it be, people patting us on the back, whether it is, I mean, whatever reason it might be, it's that deceitfulness of thinking that we need a little bit more, we need a little bit more, we need a little bit more. Thank goodness that, as Paul reminded us, that God's grace is sufficient for us. That means God's grace, all the needs that we will ever have already been met in Christ. So God's grace is sufficient for us in a way that we don't have to depend on anything else to meet our needs. As we go on here, and it says, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, how many times have, and this is not, I mean, obviously not just like not an attack here or anything, but I know that in other congregations, if a pastor reaches a certain time on the clock, they don't want to hear anymore. They want it to be done and over with. And they could miss out on the most important part of that pastor's message because they are focused on so many other things that they're not saying, you know, this is my time that I set apart for God. This is the time that I've set apart to listen to what God has to say to me, whether it is in a message or whether it is when you guys are reading on your own. So when there are things that sometimes creep into your life to try to just distract you about other things, sometimes we tend to lean on those things or, you know, go to those things first rather than leaning on the Word of God, because the Word of God is where we're truly going to get the joy, where we're going to get our healing, where we're going to, you know, the prosperity that God has promised us. All those things are unlocked in the Word of God. And it's hard to believe something if you've never been exposed to it. Amen? Because God says that we have to believe upon His Word. You know, we have to confess it with our mouth. We have to believe it in our heart. And that's why it says, just as we have received the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You know, we have to walk in the same way in our daily life, just as we did when we received Christ at the very beginning. So we have to believe upon the Word, whatever promise that might be, and we have to start confessing it with our mouth. Well, it's very hard to confess things with your mouth if we don't set apart any kind of time to receive what God has wanted to give us. You know, because God wants to impart these things to us each and every day of our lives. He doesn't want us to, you know, sit idly by and care about other things rather than the Word of God. And as it goes on here in verse 20, it says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground." And this is what I want you to hear. It says, "For those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100." That's quite a multiplication when you start thinking about it. Is the fact that just by bearing or just by listening or receiving the word of God that God has given to us, if we accept it, we can bear fruit, maybe even 30-fold, 60-fold, or even 100-fold. That's a good promise in the Word of God, that He will multiply those things on us. But one thing is that becoming good ground isn't necessarily an easy or painless task. How many people has ever had any kind of experience with a garden? Okay? So in order for a garden to actually do something, you just toss seeds on the top of it? No. You have to prepare the soil, right? You got to prepare it. I know that thank goodness he got a motorized one, but I mean a tiller that just rips up the ground to work the ground and to prepare it to get it ready to receive the word or get ready to receive the seed. So therefore, sometimes in us, even though we might not be ready for it, sometimes it might be a little bit painful for us to cut those things out of our life that are choking the word of God, to cut those distractions out, or maybe even sometimes avoid even in some individuals because they continually harp on you about something that is robbing what God has given you. Even though sometimes these things might hurt, these things are going to be beneficial for you in the long run because you are preparing yourself to receive and to bear fruit from what God has given you. So even though sometimes it might hurt to start cutting, you know, maybe cut out an extra 15 to 30 minutes of sleep. I know for some of us that's very hard. For me, I found that if you have about 10 cups of coffee or a big full pot of coffee at night, you can stay up as long as you want. So there are certain things that you can do in order to get yourself and set apart time, and it might be a little bit painful, like we said, but there are things that you do have to do in order to set things apart so that you can set yourself in a good place to receive the Word of God. Because God wants you to have one-on-one time with you. He wants you to have this thing with us. You know, and why is this parable so important? Because the Word of God, just as Jesus is the cornerstone of which the church is going to be built on, the Word of God should be our cornerstone of how we build our life. Our life should be built upon the Word of God. It should be built upon what He has given us as a foundation. You know, the foundation of us having, you know, whether baptisms or salvation or repentance from dead works, I mean, all these different things that God is laying the foundation in our life come from the Word of God. And when we don't take time to read the Word of God, or we don't take time to participate in what the Word has given us, then we lose out on seeing that harvest. And, you know, some of the things that we've talked about, I know in prayer on Thursday nights, is why aren't things fruitful? Why aren't things taking off? Why? I mean, because we know that, I mean, in no way are we saying that this is to pat us on the back, but we know that when one of us or anybody else that we know that comes up to get up in this pulpit to speak about God, speaks from the Word of God. There's no different outside interpretation. We're going with what the Word says right here in front of us. And so we know that we're teaching the Word of God, and we know that it's good seed. We know it's not wheat. We know that it's good seed, or tares. We know that it's good seed that should bear good fruit. Amen? And so that's the reason why if we don't receive it as good soil, we can never see any kind of a harvest. Just as a farmer can't just sit out idly by and not plant anything and expect to have a full harvest, we can't expect to have a full harvest in our life if we never take any time to plant seed. Okay? So there's nothing we can do. So when we sit there and we look about that, and that was one thing when I was reading this, and then when I started reading at the beginning of this year, one of the things that stood out to me was in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll go there real quick, because this is talking about being known by our fruits. So in Matthew chapter 7, we'll start in verse 16. And this really just jumped out at me because I started reading this and I saw it and it says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." So when I started reading this, I was going, okay, so when we start thinking about why aren't we seeing the fruits, why aren't we seeing things take place, why aren't we seeing, you know, seeing the harvest, why aren't we seeing an abundance take place, or an abundance of God's manifestation go on? And then it really started to hit home is the fact that that tree, number one, can't bear fruit and can't bear anything unless it first has a seed. And not only does it first have to have a seed, but it has to have a place to where it is actually sown. So the Word of God has to be sown into the lives of the people. They have to receive the Word of God in order for any kind of tree to bear any fruit. You know, there has to be nutrition in the ground for anything to take place. There has to be, people have to receive what the Word of God has for them to say, in order for anything to take place externally. So if we're wanting to see, if we're wanting to know, why aren't we having, you know, why aren't we having the fruits that we desire? Why aren't we see these things? We know that there's good seed going on. Well, it's because we're not seeing the seed taking in like it should be. People are letting old doctrines. People are letting things that maybe traditions that they were taught a long time ago when they were kids. They're letting those things rob them of what they could have in Christ. They're letting other people determine whether or not that they're going to stand on the Word of God because they're afraid of what somebody might say. They might call them goofy. They might say you're crazy because you're believing this. They're afraid of persecution from other people. So we have to move ourselves away from being afraid of persecution or being afraid of putting other things out that might be hurtful to us at first, because we know that the benefit is there. We know that the benefit is there. And that's why I want to go back real quick. Actually, let's read one more thing real quick. Let's go to verse 24 here. And in 24 it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." This really started speaking to me as well, just once again about this same type of subject, is that when we don't build ourselves up on the Word of God, first and foremost, we're building our house and we're building our lives upon a shaky foundation, upon things that can easily be wiped away from us. So let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you guys don't have to turn there. I can just turn there and you can just listen. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we're going to read it again. It says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." Or another translation says it's God breathed. So, I mean, it is literally the Word of God given to each and every one of us. So it says, it is by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So obviously this is what we should base our relationship with God upon. We should base it upon the Word of God, not what other people are saying. "For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So we all want to be thoroughly equipped, right? Nothing's more frustrating than if, I know that you guys have all probably had a job that for some reason you weren't given every single tool that you needed to be successful at that job. I know that during part of the things, one of the frustrations that we've had at work, and this is a real minor thing, but one of the things that we've had at work, because we got a real, what we would call a real old school CFO that came in about 2 years ago because of the financial situation that was going on, and he basically came in and just locked down everything, spending on everything. There was no spending for office supplies. There was no, I mean, basically it got to the point where people were bringing in their own pens. He was, you know, people, there was nothing that was purchased by the company. And as you can imagine, that when somebody is at work and they need something to write with, and there's no pens around and there's no pen supply anywhere, it's kind of frustrating when you're at a job that they want you to do, but they don't supply you with any of the tools that you need. I don't know if anybody else has ever had that experience, but it's very frustrating. Kind of like, I know at Target, we are always frustrated because they always wanted us to get, you know, I don't know, during the holidays, 50 to 60 to 70 different credit applications every single day. But yet they just thought that we should do it out of the goodness of our heart. And the people that we were trying to, like the cashiers or whoever was there, they just thought that they should just be motivated for the good of the company. Well, they should have been, but at the same time, we're not given any tools to use as motivation for people. How can we motivate them? And so it was real frustrating because they wanted us to achieve a goal that we had no tools in order to achieve that goal. But thank God that he's not like that. He's very gracious towards us. He's very merciful towards us. And that's why he says in verse 17 that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So obviously, what he's talking about before verse 17 is for our own good, for us to be thoroughly equipped, for us to be ready, for us to be capable, and for us to be able-minded in order to confront anything that we come across in our life. Okay? So God's telling us that we'll be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let's look at verse 16 again. It says, all Scripture. So obviously Scripture is what he's talking about here. The Word of God is what is going to thoroughly equip us for every good work. And it says it is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is what I want to talk about because I really feel that in verse 16, if we turn some of these words a little bit, we'll see exactly what good soil is. Good soil and good people that are going to actually receive the Word of God are those that are correctable, those that are able to receive instruction, and they actually act upon that instruction. So when he's talking about it's good for instruction in righteousness, that's why he's saying, when he goes, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So those that are going to hear the Word of God and those that are going to receive it as instruction and do something about it, those are the ones that are going to benefit from the Word of God. So when the Word of God is, you know, thrown out there and says, this is what you've got to do to receive, this is what God has laid out in front of you as His law that He said is settled forever in heaven, how do you receive? By obeying what the Word of God says, by doing what the Word of God says. But if you're not an instructable person, that you think that no matter what the Word of God says, that you're going to base your feelings and your decision upon what you have been told in the past or how you personally feel, you will never receive the full benefit of the Word of God. You will absolutely never receive the full benefit of His promises and of His blessings upon each and every one of us if you refuse to be correctable, you refuse to have anybody rebuke you, you refuse to have any kind of instruction made upon you because you want to do it your own way. You will never be fully equipped or thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what good soil is. Good soil is the type of soil that is moldable, that is, and that can people can put something in it and plant it. If it's hard, if it's, you know, if it's something that cannot be ripped apart to where you can plant the seed deep in, you won't see the benefit of that seed. You won't see the fruits of that seed because if that ground is horrible ground, you won't see anything grow. An example for us, I know for Christy and I, is at our first house, on one side, in the very back, we planted five bushes. And at the very back, obviously the area that was around the house when it was made, there was a lot of clay, there's a lot of different things in the ground. Well, at that back portion of this of our house, we planted a bush. Every single bush, well, I won't say every single one, but we obviously didn't have some good ground in a couple of these spots because it just died. And so the next year, luckily Home Depot was very lenient and said they had a year policy that said if a plant died, you could bring it back and you could get a new one and you could replant it, and you know, for just a warranty, just in case the plant was bad. Obviously, the plant was not bad because we got a bigger one that should have been more hardy and more healthy, and we planted it in the same spot. We even made more room for it, and we tried to put in more topsoil. We tried to put in other things in there, but that ground was horrible, and it died within a month or two. Started turning brown, leaves falling off and all these types of different things. Obviously, a dead plant is not really a pretty plant, you know? It's kind of like, that's why I know Christy, even though I don't listen, because roses are pretty. She likes the way roses look, but she doesn't like roses because they die so quickly. To the fact that when you bring home roses, they might be pretty, and you might put in some of that plant food, but because the type of plant that they are, they just die. I mean, they die very easily. So when you see it, it might be pretty for the first day, and then it starts drooping, and then you start seeing leaves fall off, and then it starts to lose its appeal. At the same thing, for us, if we're going to have a full life, if we're going to see the blessings of God manifest in our life, then we've got to be the type of ground that not only takes the seed, but nourishes the seed. And that's why, you know, I'm reminded of a song a long time ago that we used to sing, but it was talking about, it said, Holy Spirit, rain down. You know, just that thought about the Holy Spirit being as an example of like water, you know, watering the seed of the Word of God, watering those things in our life so that we can see the manifestation of that. So that's why it's so important to be a correctable person so that you're not basing your decision upon what you hear from the Word of God based on what you think should take place. Because the Word of God should be our first and foremost thing that we look at, but also it should be the final say-so in our life. So whether or not somebody else tells you that it's goofy or silly, the Word of God reigns supreme over that person's opinion, or reigns supreme over what other people might think or say. That's why it is so important. Now let's go to 2 Peter. And we'll start in chapter 1. And I'll just start reading here in verse 2. But it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." I want you to look in the first few verses and look what Peter's talking about here as being the foundation of seeing all things that pertain to life and godliness. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God." Can't have knowledge of God if you don't listen and you don't bear the seed in the Word of God. "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness," all things that pertain to life and godliness, "through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." And as he goes on, he starts talking about add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. So you can see knowledge is one of the very first things that starts to take place before we start seeing all these other things that we can start adding on to. So when we start seeing, hearing the Word of God and listening to the Word of God, then we will start to see all these other things take place. The fullness of God is in the knowledge of God. So it is the knowledge of God that will help us. Let's go to John chapter 8 real quick. But as one final part on that last section we just read, you will partake in the nature of God and see the fruit of God take place in your life in direct relationship to the knowledge that we have of Him. And I don't want to say that in a way that people think that they have to read the Word of God so much in order to see God work in their life. Because that's not what I'm saying at all. Because obviously, God has already given us everything by the grace of God and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But we can't act on it, and we can't put our faith into action by agreeing with the Word of God if we don't know what the Word of God says. If you're not convinced of something, you're not going to stand on it. You're not going to hold fast to your confession by not knowing the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, you will know that this is what God says about me. This is what God says about my life, and I'm going to stand firm upon it and see it take place. So in John chapter 8, in verse 31, in verse 31 it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So see, the way that the truth makes you free and sets you free is by knowing it and by hearing it and by receiving the Word of God. You know, and let's go on here real quick. And it says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. One thing that really spoke to me about this was just talking about a slave, where it says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. For me, that was just kind of speaking to me, saying how a slave, sometimes we lock ourselves down to doing something, and we get, you know, and we only do it because we have to. And that's why the slave here, when he's talking about it, doesn't abide in the house forever. But us, as sons and daughters of God, we should abide in the Word forever because we want to be there. Not because it's something that we're required to do, but the Word of God should be something that we take pleasure in because we want to be there. You know, a son does these things and meditates on the Word of God and continues to see the Word of God. Let's turn to Psalm, the book of Psalms, and we'll actually wrap this up real quick. And we'll actually just start, we'll just be in chapter 119 of Psalms. And the first thing I'll read is verses 9 through 11. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This right here basically puts to rest that whole idea that we have to learn from our own mistakes, or we have to do everything on our own in order to figure out our life. Because God says, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can your path be made straight, basically? By taking heed according to your word, by the word of God. When we listen to the Word of God and we put things to action by the Word of God in our life, we don't have to make a ton of mistakes in order to see success. We don't have to fail a bunch of times. We don't have to go through a bunch of bad relationships to find a good one. No, if we put our mind to what the Word of God says, God said that He will take care of all those other cares that we have if we seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said He'll take care of everything else. Let's go to verse 15 and 16. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. See, that word meditation is one of the other things that is really important about the Word of God, is that we ought to meditate on the Word of God in a way that even if we're not reading it, we think about it. We think about, what did God say to me today? Because He should speak to you every day through the Word or through prayer, or when you're praying in tongues, whatever the case might be. Let's go to verse 99. And I'll read that real quick. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You see, one of the best things about teaching, and I know that a lot of teachers feel this way, or a lot of, you know, people, just like it is with parents. Parents want their kids to have it better than they had it. Teachers want their pupils to not only have the same experiences they have, but also greater experiences. Because that's the true, I mean, that's the true idea of a teacher. If they're wanting you to fail, they're not really a true teacher. A true teacher wants you to succeed and even do better than they did. Do even better and even more things. That's why it says, you know, that's why Jesus was a teacher. He wanted his sons and daughters to not only do the same things that He did, but He also wanted us to do greater things that He did. And He said that we are able to do greater things than He did because He went to the Father. We're able to see the same things that Jesus saw and even more. And one thing, to just kind of finish it real quick, I have there's a scripture that I had gotten on my email from Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 15. It's actually the New Living Translation. And one thing that really kind of caught my attention, it says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. So in the same way, a fool will only think that their ideas are the only ones that matter, but a wise person will hear the Word of God and listen to the Word of God in a way that they will allow it to transform their life. Just as we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, if we allow the Word of God, if we allow ourselves to be correctable, allow yourself to take those preconceived notions that we've had in the past, allow us to take those things and put them on the shelf in order to be taught by the Word of God rather than what we've learned in the past. Let us be taught by what the Word says rather than what we already think about that subject. Let the Word be our instruction. Let the Word be our correction. If we're wrong about something, let the Word do its job. That's how we are good soil, and how we move towards that is by starting to value the Word of God over anything else that we see in this world. Whether we might hurt us a little bit to put things down and put things aside, whether it might hurt us a little bit, but at the same time, we need to toughen up because it's only going to get more difficult as we go forward. It's only going to get more difficult. People are going to persecute you even more the more you start standing in the Word of God. You know, it's going to happen. God said it's going to happen. But at the same time, He already has overcome the world. He's already given you all the answers that you need. But we have to start unlocking it and seeing all those things that pertain to life and godliness happen in our life by the knowledge of the Word of God, by laying a foundation in our life and by taking to heart. When people say we need to read the Bible together, we read the Bible together. There shouldn't be, and I don't, no way is this a dig on anybody, but there shouldn't be only five people on a distribution list for our church about reading through the Bible in a year. It shouldn't happen. Because if we're not only a family church, but also if we are a Christian, which means a follower of Christ, or you want to think about yourself as being a disciple of Christ, in John chapter 8, just what we just read, you are His disciple indeed if you abide in the Word of God. If you live in the Word of God, if you dwell in the Word of God, that's when you're a disciple. So disciples of Christ will make that dedication to line up with other people and say, I'm going to do this with you because we know how important the Word of God is, and I'm going to let the Word of God instruct my life the way that it should. Because I really think that that will unlock so many different things. We'll start to see those things not only take place in our life individually, but we'll see it as a church, as a corporate whole, when we start every one of us saying, I'm going to latch on to that seed. I'm going to latch on to the Word of God, and I'm going to bear fruit. You know, not going to let anybody hold me back. I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to actually receive it. Because when we start understanding that, then when we start unlocking other things, we say, I receive what the Word of God says in this parable. I receive what He says in this parable. You know, when we start receiving those things and taking them in and meditating on the Word of God, it unlocks understanding and unlocks our knowledge in the Word of God so that we can see Him manifest in more ways in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads and we'll end in prayer tonight. Father, we just thank You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that is the seed that You have given us. And I thank You, Lord, that it would bear the fruit that You have called it to bear. I thank You, Father, that You have been an inspiration, Father, not only to me, but I thank You that You would deal with the hearts of everyone here tonight, including myself, Father, that I would be more instructable, that they would be more instructable, Father, so that when it comes to the Word of God, that we are open to Your correction. We are open, Father, to Your rebuke, so that we know that we will see things take place in this congregation because we hear and we listen to what the Word of God says, and that we contemplate, we meditate on the Word of God so that You can reveal to us, Father, what You want to reveal to us. And we just thank You, Lord, that we will start setting apart those times, Father, the intimate time that we can have with You and with each other so that we can share the revelation that You have given each and every one of us. And we just thank You, Lord, for that seed. In Jesus' name, amen.